Ukraine's future is within the EU, President Volodymyr Zelensky has said, calling the EU decision to grant his country EU candidate status a unique and historic moment. Ukraine and Moldova have both been accepted as candidates to join the EU at a leaders' summit in Brussels. The summit continues today with the war in Ukraine, the global food security issues down for discussion, as well as cost of living issues. From Brussels, our Europe editor Tony Connolly. And Tony, the Russian war in Ukraine has really changed attitudes to further enlargement of the European Union. But getting from candidate status to member state, it is long and it is arduous. So what happens now?
That's right, Bim. For the moment, Mary, people are essentially savouring this moment, because if you think back to how Ukraine has ended up in this situation, this all began, you could argue, back in 2004 when there was the Orange Revolution, and then in 2014, the fact that under pressure from Moscow, the Ukrainian leader at the time, Viktor Yanukovych, rejected an association agreement with the EU that prompted the Maidan protests, and then you had over 100 people killed on Maidan Square, and you had the fleeing of Yanukovych at the time, and then the invasion of Crimea, all leading up now to the invasion again by Russia of Ukraine proper. And it is astonishing to think that throughout all that time, when Vladimir Putin has been saying that Ukraine doesn't really exist as a country or a state, it is now a candidate country to join the European Union. But as you say, this will be a very long road. Also for Moldova, which got candidate status last night. And of course, Ukraine is uniquely in a full-scale war. So how do you go about the process? You know, this will take at least 10 years, I think. But having said that, there is tremendous will, I think, in Ukraine to see the war as a cathartic moment, that the reforms that need to be done in order to qualify for membership can be done as part of the reconstruction of the country post-war, whenever that is. And of course, from the EU's point of view, you know, they are going to be funding the reconstruction of Ukraine. So that is, I suppose, a leverage that the EU has to make sure that Ukraine can comply with the reforms on rule of law, on corruption, on the judiciary. So there is that parallel leverage that will happen. But this will, of course, be a long journey.
And on that journey, doesn't the EU have to move carefully and indeed fairly, because there are others in the waiting room? You had, you know, the Albanian Prime Minister yesterday, you know, pointing out, be under no illusions, he was saying, North Macedonia, 17 years, Albania, 8 years. So he said, welcome to Ukraine.
Yeah, so in parallel, yesterday there was a summit of EU leaders and Western Balkan League leaders, and there was quite a bit of bitterness that these countries like North Macedonia, Albania, Serbia, Montenegro, they've all been waiting around, you know, with candidate status and not really moving forward. And there was particular bitterness from the North Macedonians and Albania, whose hope for an acceleration of their accession process has been held up by a Bulgarian veto. Now, this is about the rights of the Bulgarian minority in North Macedonia and how history is taught. And it had been hoped that veto would be lifted ahead of the summit, but the government in Bulgaria collapsed, so that veto still stands. Now, there's possibly a vote next week to lift the veto, but we simply don't know. But that did cast a bit of a pall over proceedings yesterday. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the decision to grant candidate status for Ukraine was held up for about 3.5 hours yesterday, because Austria and others were saying, look, Bosnia and Herzegovina, they need to be given candidate status too. And there was a very long discussion on what is holding up Bosnia's candidate status. Now, Bosnia has some 14 key goals to meet before it's going to be given that. But again, this did cast a bit of a bitter taste for those Western Balkan countries who feel that they have been marginalised while
and
all
in the
meantime,
Tony, the summit continues today. Pascal Donohue, you were reporting, will be addressing the leaders, as will Christine Lagarde. What might we hear?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a fairly sobering discussion about inflation, about the energy crisis, and about the dangers of bond spreads. Remember them from 10 years ago. So there'll be a discussion about that. And remember, the ECB is going to be under some pressure to explain how it is coping with the inflation issue. In the light of the fact that member states have been pouring huge amounts of money, public money, into their economies following the COVID crisis. So the question is, should that free public money tap be turned off, or do they need to keep it open? There's going to be a discussion about energy as well. And of course, Germany worried now very much about the need to fill gas storage tanks by the winter because of the risk of Russia turning off the gas. So it's going to be a fairly sobering discussion.
And more from you during the course of the day, Tony Connolly in Brussels. Thank you.